Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Today's question is, I would suggest to you, one of the most important questions that any of us could ever ask. The question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And today, millions of Christians throughout the world have shouted this fundamental belief of the Christian faith that Christ is risen. But is it true?
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. At the heart of the Christian faith lies the belief that Jesus Christ did not just die for our sins. He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you believe this? Today on The Verdict, we continue to look at the evidence as we consider the all-important question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
Each year, during the celebration of Easter, millions of followers of Jesus throughout the world declare, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But is it true? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? This week, we're taking a break from our study in Revelation to focus on Easter. And today, we're considering one of the central and essential truths of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Did it really happen? Perhaps you've been very skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus, but I ask you to consider the evidence. Read the historical account in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them testify that Jesus did rise from the dead. Join me then as we consider the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
When Bertrand Russell, the famous English philosopher, was asked what he would say if God were to ask him after his death why he had not believed, here was his witty, cool, sophisticated reply. Not enough evidence, God, not enough evidence. But is that true? Is there not enough evidence for the existence of God? Well, here is some of the evidence that Jesus did really rise from the dead. First of all, we want to say and to establish that Jesus died on a cross. We have the New Testament manuscripts, and the New Testament manuscripts attest that Jesus Christ was crucified by the Romans. And the evidence for the original text of the New Testament is overwhelming. There are 5,664 partial or complete manuscripts of the New Testament that have been cataloged, making the New Testament the best attested document from the ancient world, far superior to any other, unparalleled. And you may be interested to discover that the death of Jesus on a cross is also recorded by several non-Christian historians. People who are not believers, people who did not follow Jesus, such as Josephus, who lived in AD 37, died in the year AD 100. He's a first century Jewish historian. This is what he writes, Josephus. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing amongst us, had condemned him to be crucified. There is no doubt from history, from the historical record of the New Testament and other non-Christian sources that Jesus died the death of crucifixion. The Jewish religious establishment were very concerned that Jesus would rise again. After all, he had prophesied that. And therefore, what do? They secure the tomb with a Roman guard. Guard the tomb. They rolled over the entrance to the tomb a large stone, and it's sealed. This was done to prevent the disciples or anyone else coming and moving the body from the tomb and so claiming that there had been a resurrection. Do you get the point? There is no question that after his death on the cross, Jesus was buried in a tomb. You say, okay, John, I'm with you so far. Seems to be the case that he was crucified by the Romans, and it seems to be that he was buried in a tomb. That's fine, I can accept that, but did he really rise from the dead? Isn't that the crucial point? Yes, he did. Number one, the tomb was empty. The New Testament tells us that it was the Jewish leaders, I find this very intriguing, the Jewish leaders circulated the story first that the disciples of Jesus had stolen the body while the guards had slept at the tomb. The very fact that they circulated the story proves the point that the tomb was empty. If the body of Jesus was still there, there would be no reason to circulate the story that the disciples had stolen the body. Furthermore, if Jesus did not really rise from the dead, wouldn't his body have been quickly produced by the Jewish authorities or the Roman authorities to stamp out this silly notion that Jesus really did rise from the dead? Evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Number one, the tomb is empty. Secondly, and very powerfully, the testimony of eyewitnesses. The first witnesses at the empty tomb and the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ were women. Women not only saw the empty tomb, they saw the resurrected Christ. Furthermore, two of the disciples, Peter and John, heard the report about the empty tomb from the woman, and they very wisely checked it out for themselves. The woman said, "Listen, this is what we've seen." And they go and they check it out themselves. Direct eyewitness testimony. And the testimony of these disciples who had been so disillusioned is this. This man, Jesus, that you put on a cross, God raised up. And we are his witnesses. We are witnesses of his resurrection. But it wasn't just his followers or his disciples, his inner circle, who testified that they'd seen the resurrected Christ. There was this man called Saul. He's Jewish. He's very hostile to the followers of Jesus. He's very zealot. In fact, he gives his life to persecuting the church, trying to stamp out the Christian faith. And on one occasion, he's going to Damascus, present-day Syria, in order to persecute the church. And as he's traveling, something miraculous happens. A vision, the resurrected Christ appears to him. And this man, who was so antagonized against Jesus, is wonderfully converted and testifies, as he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, that last of all, meaning last of all to him as an apostle, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And that man goes down in history as one of the greatest of the apostles, namely the apostle Paul. And he also gives the record in 1 Corinthians 15 that on one occasion, at one time, Jesus appeared to 500 people. And some of them were still alive at the time Paul was writing. In other words, you can check it out for yourself. Eyewitness account. We have an empty tomb. We have eyewitnesses saying, we have seen the risen Christ. We've seen him. This is true. He's alive. And we're preaching it. And we're prepared to die. We're prepared to go to prison. You can flog us. You can stone us. You can throw us out of the city. But we're going to continue to say that this one you killed is none other than the risen Christ, the Savior of the world. That's powerful evidence, isn't it? What about the burial clothes of Jesus? Early on a Sunday morning, some women came to the tomb to embalm the body of Jesus more carefully. And when they came, you know the story, the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Robbing tombs wasn't unknown in that society. The clothes in which a corpse was wrapped and the spices were quite valuable. But in this case, the body's gone, but the linen cloths used to wrap around the body of Jesus are still in the tomb. That seems odd, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to sneak in and take the body, you're going to take the cloth and the spices. But in this case, the body is gone, stolen, the Jews are going to say. But the cloths in which the body is wrapped are still there. This is so powerful. John says in John 20, verse 8, when he saw it, he believed. Must have seemed that Jesus had gone right through the grave clothes. One thing, if someone had removed the body with the clothes on them, or alternatively, if they just wanted the body for some bizarre reason, they would have unwrapped the clothes which had been lying all around. But the testimony of the eyewitnesses was that the face cloth, for example, was folded up in a place by itself. What's the evidence? Jesus really did rise from the dead. Now, what do you make of it? What's your verdict? You've heard some of the evidence. There's much more. I've just sketched out a few of the salient points. But let me say to you, there must be a response. Your eternal destiny depends on your response to Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and who really did rise from the dead. If the resurrection of Jesus is not true, the whole of our faith, the whole of Christianity, crumbles. If it is true that Jesus really did rise from the dead, every single one of us here, children, students, adults, whoever we are, every single one of us must deal with this. It's often said that if Jesus really rose from the dead, nothing else really matters. I agree. Think of it. If Jesus really rose from the dead, nothing else in life really matters. Let me give you a personal testimony. When I was 12 years old, I put my complete trust in Jesus Christ. As a boy, I realized I'd sinned. I'd messed up. And I believed that Jesus, when he died, paid the price for all of the sins of John Monroe. I don't know all of you, but I know all of you have sinned. You've messed up. There's not one perfect person here. Some sin much more dramatically than others. Some of it may be accepted by our society, but we know in our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes are sinful. And this is why Jesus came. As a boy of 12, I understood that he came not to judge me, not to condemn me, but he came to save me, and that I could have new life, I could have a new beginning, that my sins could be completely cleansed. That was wonderful to realize as a young boy, that my sins could be completely wiped away, and also I would receive this gift of eternal life coming from the one who really rose from the dead, who is alive and who gives me his life, so that now I receive the life of God in my soul, eternal life. It is called the life of Jesus. And I cried out to Christ to come and to save me. I was at a Christian youth camp at the time. And in his grace, I've sought to live for him since then. Certainly not perfectly, but that's been the bent of my life. For 11 years, I practiced law in Scotland and was taught, as all good lawyers are or should have been taught, how to assess and to present evidence. Naturally, I'm a skeptic. I take a lot of convincing. Some of you may be more gullible, but I'm not. I'm naturally a skeptic. That used to bother my parents sometimes when I came to church and would ask my dad, do you think that story the preacher told was really true? You know, you hear all these strange stories from preachers, and I would say, was it really true? That's the kind of person I was. Maybe that's why I went to law. But I practiced law. People said I was a good attorney. I certainly had a good legal career ahead of me. After practicing law for 11 years, quite suddenly, only in the space of a few months, I very much sensed that God was calling me to leave my law behind. Everyone was shocked, my partners, my wife, my family, my friends, and myself. But that's what I did. I left it 100%. My wife and I sold everything we had. We sold our home. I sold my share. I was a partner in a firm as a litigator at the time. I sold my share in that. Tried to negotiate with my partners, that's another story. And without asking for one penny, one cent from anyone, moved to the United States, where I began my theological and biblical training at Dallas Theological Seminary. A huge decision. People said that I was mad, it was crazy. Why did I do that? It wasn't because I didn't like law, I loved being a lawyer. Naturally, I'd rather be a lawyer than a pastor, believe me. But Jesus, the King of Kings, I was convinced then and still am, is that he is alive and that this living Christ was calling me to devote my life to telling people about the teaching of Jesus and about the meaning of the Word of God. No, it's not the easiest of lives, I would confess that, but a huge privilege. And I'm personally convinced of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm so convinced of it that my whole life is devoted to telling people about Jesus who is alive. This is not just theory to me. This is not just academic. This is my life. This is what I live for. This is what I get up in the morning for. This is what I dream about. This is what I aspire to be, is to serve the living Christ. And I am 100% convinced that he exists. Not only that he exists, that he is alive. You say, how can you be so sure, John? Well, we operate in a physical way. I can see you. I can see you exist. I can say, here's my wife. She exists. Can I see Jesus? No, I can't see Jesus in that sense, physically. But as well as living in a physical dimension, we are to live as creatures made in the image of God in a spiritual dimension. That's called living by faith. That's tough for us sometimes because we can see the physical and we can't see the spiritual. But God helps us to grow in our faith in Him. And I firmly believe that Jesus Christ is alive. Why? Because I know Him, I love Him, I serve Him, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus. This one is alive because as a boy of 12, when I called out to Jesus Christ to come and save me, not only did He cleanse me of my sin, all of His grace, believe me, I didn't deserve that. Still don't. Not only did that happen, the wonder of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the unique message of the Christian faith is that this one who really rose from the dead and who is alive, when we call out to Him, not only does He cleanse you, He indwells you through His Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So that I have within me the living Christ. Paul says, Christ lives in me. I believe that. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And this risen Christ now calls on you, yes, you, to turn from your sin. Some of you say you're following Jesus, but let's face it, you're really not. You're following your own agenda, your own ambition. And it's great to be ambitious. I was ambitious. I am ambitious, I suppose. That's the way I'm made. There's nothing wrong with ambition, provided it's the right ambition of putting Christ first in your life. And if you're following Him, and if it's really true that He is raised from the dead, isn't it time to get rid of some of the junk out of your life and to realign your priorities today? Wouldn't it be a good thing to do that on this Easter Sunday? You who say you're followers of Christ, to do some repentance, a spiritual cleanup, Christ will do that. You say, will He do it? Absolutely. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And He will renew you. And He'll put you on a path to glorify Him and to bless others. And if you're not a follower of Christ, I plead with you to turn from that sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must make a personal response. In 1928, Alexander Fleming, a bacteriologist who happened to be Scottish, I've got to add that to irritate some of you, he discovered the germ-killing power of a green mold. From that mold, the antibiotic penicillin was purified. The drug was going to be responsible for saving the lives of thousands of individuals who otherwise would have died from various forms of blood poisoning. Now, supposing your blood is poisoned, I show you a bottle of penicillin. Do you believe this bottle of penicillin exists? You say, of course I do. Do you trust the ability of this penicillin to cure you from your blood poisoning? You say, yes, I do. But nothing will change your condition until you personally receive the drug. Only then, when there is that personal identity, personal acceptance of that drug into your system, only then will the blood poisoning go. And just as your faith in that bottle of penicillin unites you to the cure for your poisoned blood, so our faith in Jesus unites us to this living Christ who died for our sins, who was buried, and who rose again on the third day, who really did rise. And it will unite you to Christ and to all of the glorious benefits of salvation. And faith is the hand that takes hold of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who offers you forgiveness of sins. And just as a person who has blood poisoning must personally receive penicillin to be cured, you must personally receive this one who died for your sins, who was buried, and who rose again. Will you do that? When you do that, you'll receive eternal life. You'll receive the gift of gifts. All of your sins will be forgiven. You'll never be the same again. I call on you as a preacher of the gospel, as one who is following Jesus, as one who's looked at the evidence, as one who knows Christ, as one on the authority of Scripture, call on you to turn from your sin and to place your eternal destiny in the hands of the living Christ. You'll never regret it. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And because He really rose from the dead, through faith in Him, I have eternal life. Here it is from Jesus in His own words. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoa. Did you get that? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What wonderful words. If I die today, I know I will be raised from the dead. I will be raised from the dead. I will, in effect, dance on my grave. Because I know I will spend eternity with my Savior, who loved me, who died for me, who was buried for me, and who rose again on the third day. This I believe. I know that my Redeemer lives. Father, help us to listen. We think of the words of Jesus, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Open our ears, our hearts, our minds, Father, our whole being to this great truth that Jesus lives. And we know that he is our Redeemer, and we know that he lives. I realize some of you here are not followers of Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. You can't do that but just by mechanically repeating a prayer after me. This is to be from your heart. This is something you believe. Your embrace involves your mind, the acceptance of the facts, involves our emotions, obviously, that we fall in love with Christ. But there's also an act of the will. But if you're ready to trust Christ, well, you can pray with me. Also, if you are a follower of Christ and you've strayed, and who has not done that, I want to remind you, God's a forgiving God. Will you recommit your life to Christ? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I admit that I've sinned against God. I've gone my own way. I've offended you, offended others. I now turn from that sin. I repent. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. In fact, you paid the penalty of all of my sins. I cry out to you to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me. I believe that you were buried and that on the third day you really rose from the dead. I believe that you're alive. And as a living Savior, I cry out to you. I trust in you. Save me, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me. Help me to live for you. I ask it. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Did Jesus Really Rise from the Dead? If you missed any part of this important lesson, be sure to catch up when you can by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're on the website, we invite you to join what God is doing through The Verdict by supporting this ministry with a donation of any amount. Your partnership will help us continue bringing God's Word and the hope of Jesus Christ to new listeners in your community and across the world. We're so thankful for those listeners who step up to help spread the gospel. And if you've never given before, now is a great time to start. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org. Or feel free to send a check in the mail by addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then as we wrap up today's program, we also want to encourage you to join us for worship here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. So if you're in the area, we'd love to welcome you in person. Or join us from wherever you are by watching through our live stream online. For more details about our services or any of our ministries, check out our home church website at calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? What do you personally believe about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? There can be no authentic Christianity without a personal trust in and commitment to the risen Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus, who died for your sins, who was buried, and who, as the Son of God, rose from the dead. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Next time, we continue our Easter series by thinking of grace at the cross.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.